Hey, this is Ron Jacobs for AppFabric TV, and today I want to talk to you about child workflows and how you can load them and invoke them. But to set this up, let's go back a little bit to this blog post. You see here it's on March 29th, 2011, when I first created this load and invoke workflow activity, and I put it out in Microsoft.activities, and I made an Endpoint TV episode and a sample about it, and everything was cool. And then the other day, one of the things that I love about my job happened, okay? And here's what I love. I love it when, here's the sample, and this guy here, Glenn, sent me a message on the sample site, and he said, well, you know, when I try to do this, it doesn't work. And so you can see here he gets this exception, cannot find type. And so, you know, he's asking, can you help make this work? Because I think this could be really valuable. I love that because one of the things about my job is to help make you successful. So when you give me something very specific like, hey, this is close but not quite there, I got motivated. So, you know, I said, oh, I looked into it. I said, I see what the problem is. And then I modified the code. So I found out on Tuesday. I fixed it on Friday. See, isn't that great? We could turn it around real quick. So let's take a look at this fix because it's actually kind of fascinating what happened and how it works. So let's go back to this little app here. What I've got here is a workflow that when you run it, it's going to actually dynamically load some assemblies and some XAML and invoke the workflows. Now, when I originally created this, I had to do something really simple, like load an assembly that just, or rather load XAML that invoked an assign activity and all that. And it was just fine, but it was too simple because it didn't use custom activities, which led to the problem that Glenn found out about. And to be honest with you, I didn't know that the problem was going to crop up. So, you know, we're all learning together, right? So here's the workflow. So we have this sequence. It gets in it a number that gets passed in. So there's a starting number. If you don't pass one, you get the default value is 3. And then it's going to return back to the host application a number. So first of all, I assign the starting number, and then I just output what the number is before we do this loose XAML. Now, there's 3 scenarios that we have here, and I just put them in sequences to make the grouping a little easier to read. And if I open this, so the first thing we're going to do is load a child workflow called increment.xaml. And now to load and invoke this workflow, I have to do some prep work. So let's take a look at increment.xaml. So here's increment.xaml. You can see it has just an assign. That's what I had before. And then I added a couple things, a local code activity and a third party activity. So let's take a look at what those are. So here's my child activity library here, and you can see I have local code activity, and as the name implies, it is just a code activity. So we can see here that it takes text and it just outputs some console write line, right? That's what that does. And then there is a library called third party library, and so the code library has, the child library has a reference to this. And I did it this way because I wanted to show a problem that can occur here. There's the third-party library and the up here, the child activity library, which has a reference to it. Now let's take a look at the XAML. So here in the XAML, you will see, this is the interesting lines right here. These are where the two activities from these code activities are called from. And you can see that they have a namespace prefix. Now the first one here, local code activity, has the prefix local. And the third-party activity library has a prefix T. And you can actually see those things up here in the activity thing here. So there's the local namespace, CLR namespace, child activity library. Now, in order to load and invoke this workflow, I have to do a few things. First of all, I have to know what assemblies I need to load. And I need to know which one needs to be treated as the local assembly, because that local namespace is important. Now, the XAML XML reader class gives me a way to create a XAML XML reader settings object and set has a property called local assembly. So I can override the local assembly property and then we're good to go. All right, so now let's go back here. So I have, in Microsoft Activities, added some dictionary objects that you can use to manipulate and create dictionaries in your XAML. So here I have I'm going to manipulate the child arguments dictionary. So you can see here I declared a dictionary of string object, and I just initialize it with a new dictionary there. And then I can just add the argument that I'm going to get passed into this. I have a new activity here called LoadAssembly. It's from Microsoft.Activities. And so you want to get that. And LoadAssembly, you just give it the name or the full path to the particular child assembly. And this just calls assembly.loadFrom. So it will do, you know, whatever that does to look through probing paths and things to find this assembly. So I'm going to do that one, and then I'm going to load the third-party assembly. Okay, and you can see in the properties here that I'm storing the assembly in a variable of type assembly. So I have this child activity assembly here. I'm storing that. Now, when we go to load and invoke the workflow, this workflow file, increment.xaml, has to be output to, you know, wherever you're going to load it from. So I have it output to the current directory, so it's going to get copied there. And so we're going to just try to open this up and load it. Now, there's some properties that we need to see here. You can see that I have the input is the child arguments dictionary. Then I'm passing in the local assembly. This is a new thing that I added in this release of Microsoft Activities, so we could fix Glenn's problem, which was a local assembly problem. And then I have the path to the XAML file and the resulting output arguments, so that goes in child result. Now, one interesting thing about the output arguments we should look at, child result has to be an iDictionary of string objects, so you can't assign it to a dictionary. So the VB conversion won't allow that unless you do a cast, right? So I just did an iDictionary. Okay, so that's how we load and invoke what we call loose XAML. It's a XAML that's just text, and we're going to load it and invoke it. So we have to set up the whole environment that we need. And a lot of people do this in different ways. Sometimes, you know, they store assemblies in databases or whatever. There's one interesting note about if you store assemblies in databases, if you try to load the assemblies as just a byte stream, the compilation will fail because the VB compiler expects to find these assemblies in files on disk, so you must write them to disk, okay? Then it occurred to me, what if you just had a code activity that you want to invoke? It's not in XAML, you just want to invoke it. So we have another activity here, it's called invoke workflow. It accepts as an argument just an activity, doesn't matter if it came from XAML or not. Now in this case, so what I had to do was create another dictionary of input arguments. Okay, and then here I've got an expression. Let me expand this so you can see it. So I have loaded the third-party assembly. So I need to say get the type third-party library.third-party activity, create an instance of that type, which will return me an object, and then I have to use the VB conversion operator C type to convert it to an activity. Okay, so now I'm kind of dynamically loading out of that assembly an activity, and I can just invoke it here. And then the timeout just, you know, controls the workflow invoker timeout, because under the covers I'm using workflow invoker to invoke this activity, which means we can't go idle, we can't, you know, support bookmarks and things like that. It's just very simple. We're going to load it and run it. And then there's a third case, and the third case is if you just wanted to invoke compiled XAML. And of course, by compiled XAML, I mean, like, if I have this XAML activity here, you can see that its build action is XAML app def. And if you've been following workflow, you know that XAML app def actually creates some wrapper classes. It takes the XAML, it stores it in the assembly's manifest resource stream. And then at runtime, we load the XAML out of the assembly, and then we get create the activity from it. Okay, so compiled XAML actually looks very much like invoking the compiled activity. It's almost the same thing. In this case, I wanted to change the text argument, so I remove it from the dictionary and I add it back in. I guess I should have a change dictionary activity. I haven't made one of those yet, but maybe I will. And then you just invoke it the same, activate or create instance, and all this. It's all the same, because to the rest of the world, it looks like I'm just creating a class, because I am creating a class with those wrappers that loads all the XAML. And then the rest of this is just where we go back to the original sample where I, you know, convert the number, I say if we incremented it or not, and just tell if it worked or not. And you can see if I run it here, everything is working, and we can see that the code activity spit out a message, the third-party activity spit out a message from the original load and invoke, so I know that they got invoked out of the XAML. I can also see that third-party activity was invoked as a code activity by our second scenario, and the compiled XAML was also invoked. And so everything here is working, and it's pretty cool that you can see that. Now let me show you one other interesting thing, change I made to this. In microsoftactivities.diagnostics, I have a class here called Trace Tracking Participant. And this class is super useful when you're developing a workflow because, you know, sometimes workflows fail and you're not always sure why exactly they're failing or what's going on inside the workflow. And so in Microsoft Activities, I've added some nice support for diagnostics. So if I run this in the debugger, you'll notice down here in the debug window, we're getting trace information from Microsoft Activities. So I can see what activities were scheduled, when they were closed, what arguments they had. And so if we scroll up here a little bit, we'll see, yeah, here's where we invoked the compiled activity, right? And the compiled XAML rather. And so you can see everything that's going on in the workflow. So this is super useful when you're developing, and this trace tracking participant will just output everything into the window there. I have a trace tracking behavior that you can use also for workflow services. So if you're developing a workflow service, you can see what's going on as well. Now in the case of an activity, if you wanted to load XAML and run it multiple times, I have another activity called load activity. Load activity has a way where you can set up the local assembly as well. So if I were putting this inside of a for loop, like I'm going to execute it 100 times, I don't want to do load and invoke 100 times. Load it once, so-called load activity, set up the local assembly, then invoke it 100 times just with invoke workflow, and you're good to go. For AppFabric TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.